Io il sangue, le mie fiamme che istruggono, spegnerò. ancora inusitate overti chierea ragion possente a ciò mi trasse pria che in ciel biancheggi l'alba novella dalle patrie sponde lungi sarò
che dici?
E i franchi di amici sciolgo le vele ivi trattarne dato le sorti della Scozia sorti Aston mi vegga lo stenderò placato a lui la nestra e la tua nestra pegno fra noi di pace chiedo dei mali miei ancor padrone mi tolse il padre il mio retaggio a vito ne basta che bram ancor quel cor feroce e rio la mia perdita intera il sangue mio in sel mi scorre modi
potrei compilo ancora Edgardo must leave Scotland, but he and Lucia vow to remain true to each other in spite of the bitter conflict between their families. That was Act One of Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, live from the Metropolitan Opera, starring Albina Shagamuratova, Joseph Kalea, Luca Salsi, and Alistair Miles, with Maurizio Benigni conducting. Ira, I'm always struck that the love duet in Act One between those two, it's their single moment of happiness in the entire opera.
And, you know, the melody of the love theme does express that, but also, maybe even more, there's a lot of longing in that theme, a sense of their separation.
I'm Mary Jo Heath in for Margaret Chuntwait. In just a few minutes, we'll go backstage to speak with our stars, Albina Shagamuratova and Joseph Kalea. And later in the intermission, we'll have a visit from the Met's esteemed chorus master, Donald Palumbo. Don't go away. The 2014-2015 season of live Metropolitan Opera broadcasts is sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder. With generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide. We're going to take a short pause now for station identification. This is the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network.
You're listening to Live from the Metropolitan Opera on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Stephanie Elkins. I'm going to Scotland this summer on a trip with the Grand Tour Travel Company. We'll be there during the Edinburgh Festival, where we'll hear the London Symphony Orchestra, the San Francisco Symphony, an all-Beethoven piano recital, and more. We'll also stay a few nights at a 19th century manor in the Scottish Highlands. Six concerts and accommodations are included. All the details are at WPR.org/travel.
Support for WPR comes from The Bolt Company, celebrating their 125th anniversary of providing professional construction services to customers in a variety of markets nationwide. Current news, featured projects, and more at Bolt.com.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music.
Looking at the weather forecast for Wisconsin today, sunny with highs near 40, and for tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy and a chance of snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the west after midnight, lows near 30. We return now to Live from the Met on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Lucia di Lammermoor premiered in Naples in September of 1835. Here are some other things that were in the air at that time. 3 days before the Lucia premiere, Donizetti's fellow composer and sometime rival Vincenzo Bellini died in France. Bellini was only 33 years old. His opera I Puritani had been a huge hit in Paris earlier that year. Beyond the opera houses, Paris was enjoying an especially brilliant musical season. The sensational Polish pianist and composer Frédéric Chopin had recently premiered his Andante Spianato e Grande Polonaise Brillante. Across the Atlantic, a hymn book called The Southern Harmony was published in Philadelphia. This collection of shape note tunes would prove to be an important landmark in the development of American music. Europeans were taking more notice of American matters. The first volume of Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America was published in Paris. The book, which became a classic of political theory, was based on the author's travels throughout the United States. The English actress Frances Anne Kemble also traveled to America and described her first impressions in a book she published that year. Her later reminiscences would achieve fame and some notoriety when she married a Georgia plantation owner and wrote a critique of the slavery she witnessed there. There was another journey underway whose account would revolutionize the understanding of life on Earth. The HMS Beagle landed on the Galapagos Islands that September. On board was a young naturalist named Charles Darwin. These are just some of the things that were in the air when Lucia di Lammermoor had its premiere in 1835.
Well, we're live at the Met. It's the first intermission of Lucia. Let's go backstage, where Lauren Toulagian is speaking with our Edgardo.
Thank you, Mary Jo. We are always delighted to speak with Joseph Calleja. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
That love duet is so beautiful. Edgardo swears to hate Lucia's family forever. Why does he let himself fall in love with Lucia?
If you could choose who to fall in love with in this world, this would be an absolutely perfect world. No wars, no litigation, no nothing. Unfortunately, sometimes we fall in love with less than the ideal person, and there's a huge love between them. It's romantic, it's sexual, it's passionate, but it's just the wrong family. And much like Romeo and Juliet, this time not based in Verona, but based in Scotland.
Even as your repertoire continues to grow, you return to this opera. What brings you back to this role?
The bel canto aspect, that if you can sing Lucia well, you can sing almost anything well, because it is so hard. The tessitura is atrocious throughout the opera for the tenor and the soprano, of course, so it keeps you in check. It doesn't make you go stray with your voice, if you want to see it that way.
Hmm. Our commentator, Mary Jo Heath, was talking about the fact that Lucia di Lammermoor has never gone out of fashion, though over the years other bel canto tragedies have. Do you have any thoughts about why people have remained fascinated by this opera?
It's, Wuthering Heights of opera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is the same kind of situation. It's very romantic, and everybody falls in love with a story of forbidden love. And indeed, this is very dramatic and very representative of, the love that is exciting, because exactly it is forbidden. I mean, why are 50 Shades of Grey cultural current phenomenon? Because
that's a good question.
Because it's forbidden love, it's forbidden things. I mean, I haven't watched it, I haven't read the book, but people with less imagination have, so there you go.
No, the forbidden quality, you make a very good point, is certainly part of it. I know you've sung quite a bit of Donizetti, comedies like L'Elisir d'Amore, in addition to tragedies. People often feel that Donizetti really paved the way for Verdi. Do you hear that in his music?
Absolutely. I mean, Verdi had learned a lot from Donizetti. He respected him a lot as well, as a colleague and almost as a sort of mentor. And there are many aspects of Verdi. I mean, in Rigoletto, for example, or Traviata. Even in Trovatore, where the bel canto line, like in Asi ben mio, or Parmi delle lacrime, they sound very Donizetti. It's the nice phrase, like surfing a calm ocean,
right,
if you want, that
right.
Unbreakable line. And that's very prevalent in Verdi as well, in many of his operas.
And speaking of Verdi, next year we get to hear you in Simon Bocca Negra singing Adorno, one of Maestro Levine's favorite operas. Tell us about that opera, what you love so much about the role.
When we performed it in London, Placido Domingo, the great Domingo, told me, Adorno was one of my favorite roles in all of Verdi. And to perform it there with him was quite something in London. And it's, I'm really curious to see how the production here, how it is, and how, all the singers will come together. It's a great cast, so I'm looking very forward to that.
We are looking forward to it as well. Joseph Calleja, thanks for a few minutes.
Thank you so much.
We are live backstage at the Met. Mary Jo, back to you while I look for Lucia.
Go on the hunt there, Lauren. Thanks a lot. Ira. Joseph Collet is such an elegant singer. He really brings a bel canto feel to everything he sings.
You know, I've always enjoyed his lyric sound with its distinctive vibrato. It reminds me of marvelous tenors of past generations who used to spin out the tone that way.
Spinning, spinning, spinning. Yes, old-fashioned in a good way. Absolutely. As we say. This production of Lucia di Lammermoor is by Mary Zimmerman. Sets are by Daniel Osling. Costumes are by Mara Blumenfeld. Lighting is by T.J. Gerkens, and the choreography is by Daniel Peltzig. The stage director is Sarah Ina Myers. The production is a gift of the Sybil B. Harrington Endowment Fund. The chorus master is Donald Palumbo. Musical preparation is by Gregory Buchalter, Robert Morrison, Derek Inouye, and Joshua Green. The assistant stage manager is Daniel Rigazzi. The stage band conductor is Jeffrey Goldberg, and the prompter is Gregory Buchalter. The Italian coach is Hemdy Kafir, and the stage manager is Gary Dietrich. Well, I think Lauren has been successful. Let's go backstage again where he's talking with our Lucia.
Mary Jo, thank you, and Albina Shagamoratova, hello.
Hello.
You have said that Lucia is very fragile from the beginning of the opera. Do you think that's just her nature, her character, or have circumstances made her that way?
Both ways, circumstances and her character. Because if you read Walter Scott novel, A Bride of Lammermoor, she never been in love. And she grew up with a quiet, brutal mother, which we don't have in opera.
Yes, yes.
And mother never loved her. So she's quite a lonely person. And when she met Edgardo, this passion, this love, she was involved.
Yeah, it blooms instantly.
Yep.
Yeah. People rave about how effortless your coloratura sounds. Has your voice always been that agile?
No.
You have to work on it.
No, it's all about working.
How about those beautiful, very long legato lines Donizetti gives you to sing? What are the challenges of those for you?
Actually, it's not a challenge for me to sing legato, because to sing legato, you have to not to sing legato not only on in Donizetti's opera. Everywhere you have to sing legato. So, in particular in this opera, of course, there is a beautiful long lines, which is quite difficult. Yeah, but I love this role, and I learned so many years to sing this role with many different teachers, famous teachers. So, yeah.
We are really looking forward to your mad scene in the final act, of course. When that moment arrives, is it fairly spontaneous for you, or do you have a kind of plan throughout the many different parts of the scena, or can it be different from performance to performance?
Well, I cannot change stagings, movements.
But in the moment, the feeling of it, does that
change? Of course, it's spontaneous. Hmm. Each performance are different.
I understand you listen to a lot of recordings of the great Joan Sutherland. What did you learn from her?
I listen not only to Joan Sutherland. She is one of my favorite singers. And I listened to Beverly Sills as Lucia, Renato Scotto as Lucia. But Joan Sutherland, I'm a huge fan of her because she's that type of voice, very, very close to me, and her color of the voice and her perfect technique. I love it.
I can see that on your face. Yes, you do. We're excited to hear you next season as Constanza in Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio. Very excited. Conducted by Maestro James Levine. Do you approach Mozart's coloratura differently from Donizetti's?
Well, Mozart is a different style.
Of course. And you are famous for your Queen of the Night.
Thank you. Well, coloraturas in Mozart, particularly in Queen of the Night, it's more instrumental. Mm-hmm. I would say less legato.
Right.
In bel canto, it's how to translate. It's beautiful singing.
Yes.
It's all about beautiful, not action.